God's changed my ways. Changed my ways. Those evil. So I set out, cross that way, strike them down, to make them pay, change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 8th, 2019. And, you know, we're just sort of deep into the discussion of socialism. Let's call it Fabian socialism, because that's the sort of epicenter of where this ideology was from where it was proliferated in all of its various iterations and incarnations, reinvented various times in various ways to appeal broadly to whatever socioeconomic demographic it needs to reach out to. It's funny how that works, and it's always in very disingenuous fashion. So speaking of that, reading from Zygmunt Dobbs, Keynes at Harvard, Economic Deception as a Political Credo, originally published back in 1969, I believe. Is Keynesianism, this is chapter 10, is Keynesianism a socialist maneuver? And again, it's a rhetorical question. So continuing, of course, the heavy lever to make all this possible is proclaimed as, quote, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. And you know, that obviously lifted from Marx's Communist Manifesto, but again, I would say that, you know, I would argue that's one of those plagiarized and or ghostwritten works. Continuing, Karl Marx laid down these strategic devices not as socialism per se, but as the means of emasculating private enterprise before instituting a functional socialism. Again, it's, you know, failed state status, time for nation building. It's that kind of, you know, we create the problem. Well, we don't actually, but we know we create a situation that made it virtually impossible for the problem not to arise, and then we have a solution after that. We create a reaction, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just goal setting. It's not problem, reaction, solution. It's, we have a goal. How can we foment some kind of, you know, irritation or problem or conflict that will, that we can seize upon to foment a reactionary movement to introduce our goal in the first place and say, look, it was your idea all along. I digress. Continuing, this is precisely what the hardcore Keynesians set out to do. With Marx's clear exposition, we begin to understand the Keynesian giveaway programs and the soaring national debt policies in which, as stated above, quote, appear economically insufficient and untenable. More corporate welfare, too big to fail. Anyway, continuing. When John Maynard Keynes was 7 years old, 1890, his father authored a volume entitled The Scope and Method of Political Economy. The Keynesian method of double entendre was developed by the elder Keynes to a fine art. An economist who could write a 370-page book studded with Marxist-like metaphors without once mentioning the name of Marx must be credited at being a master of skillful literary concealment. That's a great way to put that, skillful literary concealment. J.N. Keynes' talent of assuming a respectable posture within an academic sanctuary while chipping away at the edifice of private enterprise was passed on to his son, John Neville Keynes. managed to smuggle in the Marxist theme that, quote, schemes of socialism, moreover, as distinguished from pure communism, do not necessarily involve the entire abolition of free exchange. Do not necessarily. Necessarily. Wink, wink. J.N. Keynes illustrated through a most intricate web of subtle suggestions, the suggestibilists, that the concept of private enterprise can be switched around to prove it either as a desirable or a menace according to one's motives. And this is the problem. This is where people get misled. Anyway, continuing. He also made allusions to government regulations and the possible need for a world body to control the economic life of man, thus predating his son John Maynard by 54 years on the same proposition. J.N. Keynes had two fellow leftists to aid in his book. One was Henry Sidgwick, and the other was Alfred Marshall, both being socialists and mentors of young John Maynard Keynes. The elder Keynes' book was required reading among Fabian socialists and was listed for sale in the office or the official organ of the American Fabian Society under the listing Recommended Books on Socialism and Social Reform. Thus, John Maynard Keynes was nurtured on socialism and atheism practically from his mother's milk. At the age of 21, Keynes was taken in hand by G. Lowes Dickinson, the effete Fabian socialist at Cambridge University. There he was joined by Leonard Wolfe, a lifelong Fabian, and G.E. Moore, the philosopher of the Fabian Society of Socialists. John Maynard Keynes reported his activities dutifully to his father, who was a lecturer in moral science at the university. The role of steering his son into the respectable facade of Fabian socialism has not been properly aired in biographical sketches of the elder Keynes. It is generally overlooked that John Neville Keynes was general overseer of his son's activities and associations at Cambridge. There's more, you know, we could go a little bit more briefly. It is reported that in 1905, quote, a wave of Fabian socialism was soon sweeping over the new undergraduates in politics. And again, this gets back to the revelations of the Rees Committee, right? Jack London in New York, right? That infamous meeting. Anyway, it's reported that in 1905, a wave of Fabian socialism was soon sweeping over the new undergraduates, and politics, not psychological literature, became the principal topic of conversation among the intelligentsia. This new tide caught up many of Lytton's friends, including James, Maynard Keynes, and Brooke himself. Lytton and James Strachey and Rupert Brooke. James Strachey was a lifelong member of the Fabian Society, and Rupert Brooke, an intimate of Keynes, became the president of the Cambridge Fabian Society. The teachings of Sidney and Beatrice Webb as Fabian leaders became the guideline for this group. In fact, every basic theme brought out by Keynes in later life can be traced to the economic and political principles taught by the Webbs many years before. Chronology of John Maynard Keynes' association and activity with Fabian socialism is unbroken from 1904 until his death. In 1912, Keynes was reported as a member of, quote, an astonishingly brilliant batch, end quote, of Cambridge Fabians. Like his American Fabian colleagues, such as Felix Frankfurter, Walter Lippmann, Frederick P. Keppel, Keynes was an expediter of conscientious objectors in England. Like his American counterparts, Keynes was also a government official while at the same time carrying out socialist defeatist policies. This covered the World War I period from 1914 to 18. Anyway, like I said, there's more. Well, I'll just leave it at this. Just a couple briefly. In spite of his public record as a socialist, Keynes was appointed as an aide to Prime Minister David Lloyd George during the Paris peace talks with Germany in 1919, the Paris peace talks. During this period, he was asked by the Fabian socialists to head their London School of Economics. As mentioned previously, Keynes quit the peace conference along with Walter Lippmann because their leftist proposals were not accepted. And just this, finally, at the end of 1919, Keynes wrote The Economic Consequences of the Peace, of which a special edition was published bearing the imprint of the British Fabian Society. Special edition was distributed among socialists both in England and the United States. It was at this time that the Fabian socialists began to pass off Keynes as a capitalist economist, quote unquote. Same time, the identical process was applied to Frankfurter and Lippmann in America. And, you know, yeah, Walter Lippmann was one of the progressive era architects, particularly of the FDR administration. That's, I mean, you know, the alleged conflict between socialism and capitalism. To me, that's it in a nutshell right there. Advanced by the Fabian Society. It's a false dichotomy. It's a false conflict. It's, you know, the same WWE theater that we see in so many other ways, you know, Machiavellian in nature, creating two shadow puppets to fight and drawing people into this specious conflict. Anyway, back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky. Is that where we're at? Where are we?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, Mike?
Oh, good. Well, I didn't hear the normal. Mm-hmm. I usually hear a little burst of static when you get put on, so I was waiting for that. And I occasionally have this problem when I'm listening to RBN. What I was listening to was delayed or something because you weren't really on this topic, but... I had called, I think, last week, and we were talking. I was trying to talk a little bit about Libya and pre-Gaddafi. I mean, or, you know, during the tribal government, which I don't know if you caught that. I think it was it's up on the RBN news section about Glenn Beck siding with the cross-dresser transvestites or something like that. That was one of the things.
I saw the story, but I hadn't looked at it yet. So
I don't remember all the details exactly, but
7-year-old defies mom who says he's transgender. That thing decides to attend.
No, it was school. What it is. No. Was Glenn Beck was trashing the culture war. I forget the name of it. Anyway, the point being is Glenn Beck's controlled. You know, and the evidence for that, I think, would be Jim and Joy and Mariarte. Have you ever tried to get them to interview them at all? I think that would be a good, I think it would be a great interview. They've got, I don't know, 40, 50 megabytes of still shots of all of the junk that went on there when and NATO munitions and everything, where they went in there to decapitate the tribal government. Of course, it was under Gaddafi. Chris Stevens got dragged out in the street, which he might have been dead already, according to their sources. But this whole story about Glenn Beck got me thinking about the Libya stuff again and how we had talked about the all the perks that the population had. Of course, if you worked the land for 10 years, you owned it, supposedly. You know, things like that. It was started for whatever reason, the occupation colonial government that they were under, I can't think it was the Italians, left in the late 60s. And Gaddafi became the tribal government's front man. And, of course, he started...
Yeah, 69, and then, 70, the transition.
Yeah, right. So Libya, you know, instituted all these social reforms. And one of the things was that they had been occupied basically for, I don't know, most of its entire known history. Somebody had occupied Libya, be it the Romans or who was it that took over the Roman Empire, the Byzantine or whatever. And so finally, you know, the Italians, I guess, pulled out, and they had their own country. And so he started all these reforms, one of which was that you could actually own the land that you worked, which is similar
to what
the
fashion.
Well, you worked it for so long, and it was yours. You know, after 10 years, I think was the deal. And of course, that's kind of smart because I think that's kind of what the Romans did. You know, the Romans and the empire after them continued that. It wasn't until the jihad came through that, you know, they just destroyed all the agricultural infrastructure that had been built there because you got, you know, in the case of olive trees and things like that that they kept along the roads, you got, in order to maintain that under the Romans, you got to keep the fruit of your labor, but literally you got to keep all the olives that they used to line the roads, the olive trees, and that kept the road open, you know. So it was a fairly smart thing that the Romans did there. But of course, then when the jihad came through, they just destroyed everything with their goat herds and stuff like that. So that brought all that to an end. Well, Gaddafi was trying to re-green the desert, and that's kind of like a no-no. Biblically, I guess the only people that are allowed to make the desert bloom is the Israelis. You know, you can't have Libya be independent food wise. But what Jim and Joanne Moriarty had done is they had come up with an enzymatic process that used genetically modified bacteria, and then they killed off everything and left the enzymes. And these enzymes were so powerful they could recondition oil wells, clean up sludge pits, and even like chicken fat spills, you know, or something like that. It was a real powerful enzyme. I have to wonder if that's not the one that Kevin Costner was trying to sell everybody on when the Corexant was being used on the Deepwater Horizon spill, you know, and he was like selling this. Yeah, the news media trashed it, saying, well, it's a genetically modified bacteria. And what they were doing was that they were killing off all the bacteria so it didn't get into the environment. Well, the Libyan government loved this. They treated the Moriartys like royalty because they were going to bring back a lot of their oil production. They had contracts in Kuwait as well. And the government basically, government soft killed them and killed all their contracts in Libya, and when they finally was able to escape through several miracles, basically they have documented and avoid getting killed and burned alive. But they detail in their materials, they detail why Gaddafi was so loved from the process there in 1970. You got your college tuition paid for out of these oil revenues, and you know the population of Libya I don't think was much more than Kentucky. I think it was like 4 or 5, maybe 6 million. But this pageant that was ran by Hillary, basically, there's still 20,000 to 30,000 missiles missing from that shoulder fire, 7 mile range, Russian and NATO munitions missing. And so you don't hear the media talk about that, but that's one of the reasons I think they were going after the Moriarty so bad. But Glenn Beck's producers came to talk to them, and they were after the senator, I can't remember his name, Texas U.S. senator, that talked to him and said, he confirmed the story. He said, you've been soft killed. You know, they shut down their business and ruined them financially. And so this story about Glenn Beck made me think about what you're talking about with Libya and the Fabian socialism that you're bringing up. But the brand that he's been labeled as, it seems like more like it was just the revenue of the state was being used to benefit the people.
Well,
we've got that going on in America right now. We're being ripped off big time.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can talk more about that when we come back. Stick around, folks. Okay. We'll be right back after this short break.
business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. We're on the phones. We have Mike in Kentucky on the line. I'm not sure I was following that last point.
Part of what I'm getting at is that because of this Glenn Beck story, it works back to how controlled the media is and what our perception of Libya was, I think, under the tribal government and under Gaddafi. But, you know, you're talking about a population of, I don't know, maybe 6 million people. And they have massive amounts.
That many.
Well, maybe not, but they had pretty huge oil revenues. And the Moriartes were going to come in there and actually help them be more efficient and recondition the, you know, the formations, because they can inject these enzymes down there and they bring a oil production back up in a tired old well without having to re-drill it. And, you know, they were ready to do this in Kuwait. They'd already done it in other places and demonstrated that their technology works. And so they were very welcomed in. They got to see firsthand how life in Libya was. The a lot of the, quote, oppression of the women there just didn't exist. There was not racism. And, by the way, they've got pictures of massive graves of black people when the Al-Qaeda Western-funded NATO-armed revolution happened, which toppled, and nobody knows where all the gold and holdings is of the a lot of the tribal wealth is just gone, you know, and they set up a Western-controlled bank there in Libya, and that has to be, you know, considered as one of the big factors there, is that they were trying to fund their own satellite, trying to fund a gold-backed dinar that would not be under the thumb of the International Monetary Fund. But they were really taking care of their people. If you wanted to go to college and you had the aptitude, they would send you to London or wherever, and you'd get the college education that your brain would allow. I mean, tuition plus a living stipend. And so you earned that. You mean, it's not necessarily something that was just given to you. You know, you get married and you get $10,000 for your first toward your apartment or toward your first car, things like that, you know. But where is this oil, massive oil revenue, supposed to go? And where does it go in America? Because we've got a massive amount of mineral wealth.
That's definitely a good point. But even backing up to, you know, I would still, you know, the merits of people earning things, that's all still under a feudalist sort of guise, I would say. And, you know, that seems to sort of harken back to the same subject matter. That concept, I think, was pointed out by Zygmunt Dobbs in The Great Deceit, Social Pseudosciences. He addressed the feudalist nature of those kinds of reformist policies. Anyway,
well,
I think that's
like when they came back and they confirmed, the senator confirmed what they had said. Glenn Beck's producer came to them, the Moriartes, and wanted to do a two-part series on it, or like a two-part report. And I think this was after he left Fox, so it was going to be on The Blaze. And he was still being handled. They found out later that the two people that visited him, one of them was a woman that was CIA. And they called back after a couple of weeks. They never heard back. They were supposed to come back with the producers. And they left a message for the producer a couple of times. And finally, this woman called back and says, look, we're killing this story. I'm killing this story. And Jim says to her, I don't understand. And she says, look, you forget about Libya and get on with your life or you're not going to have a life. Well, he's an older guy, and they'd already soft-killed him, took his business away, and he sold off all his plastic cars. And I mean, they're living off the charity of other people at this point. And, you know, they're talking about the story of what happened with this fake revolution that they ran on Libya to get rid of Gaddafi and a tribal government. And and he's basically, this woman says, look, you're not going to have a life if you don't forget about Libya. And of course, he didn't take that as a very good, you know. So here's Glenn Beck's producer wants to do a story on him, and it gets killed. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now we're supposed to believe that Glenn Beck is siding with transgender people in the culture war of America. I mean, he's coming from Mormon country. He's controlled as they get, as far as the media goes.
Again, the old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly.
Welcome back. In the sun, you know what I mean. Bottom of the third hour already. This Friday, November 8th, 2019, we're on the phones. We have Mike in Kentucky on the line. And I guess what I would say, I don't know, I'm not trying to be controversial, but my stance is, regardless of the merits, I think that, you know, the Gaddafi regime was never antithetical to the interests. It was kind of like what John Spivak writes. I was thinking of John Spivak in these moments where, you know, talking about the Wall Street's fascist conspiracy article series that he wrote back in 1935, speaking of the business plot, basically, and Smedley Butler, the whistleblower. But the way Spivak put it, he said it will be shown that financial and economic class considerations rise above every other kind, including racial and religious ones. And he talked about how the kingmakers would use these different seemingly competing interests and factions to perpetuate conflict, you know, the same conflict, the irreconcilable conflict that guys like Norman Dodd talked about in the Rees Committee investigations. But, and, you know, what he heard from the banking community himself when he was working there. So Libya, the Gaddafi regime was not antithetical to those interests until, I mean, that was part of the perpetual conflict fomented by these kingmakers. But the moment that I think my conjecture is, and even though, you know, I would call it a feudalist socialism, even though it was a kinder, gentler feudalism, kinder, gentler socialism, I'd still call it that. And to me, the big moment was that speech and what it represented, September 23rd, 2009. The UN General Assembly address, where he started to, in my opinion anyway, pull the curtain back on the wizard and expose the fraud and say enough is enough. And then, you know, a couple of years later, he was dead.
I just don't know what, you know, about Gaddafi to believe because of how controlled our media is. But
Absolutely.
Just look at the situation where, I mean, if you're not going to spend that money on your people and the infrastructure, where is all that revenue supposed to go from, you know, all that oil and gas revenue that was coming and the other mineral wealth and trade that was being generated by the economic activity of Libya? Where is it supposed to go if it doesn't go back to the people? I think we've got that problem here in America with all this rampant capitalism. I don't think we have free enterprise. We don't have free enterprise. We don't have
capitalism. A question. Yeah, here's a question that's sort of rhetorical in the discussion. It was right in those early years, in the early 70s, that, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but that he started nationalizing those oil interests away from, supposedly anyway, the likes of British Petroleum, for example. And so to do that, and to think that you wouldn't be bombed into the Stone Age, I mean, how is that possible? You know what I mean? And so... There are, you know, I think of, gosh, what was that? There's the talk that, the Hoover talk that James Corbett did, with Jerry Daugherty, and talking about how you know, I don't even know quite how to articulate it, and I apologize for that, but excuse me, I had a tickle in my throat. How when it's expedient to certain folks, the kingmakers, you know, they privatize things, and when it's not, they nationalize things. And that's kind of what I think of, you know, in those early Gaddafi years. Things were nationalized to, you know, for laundering purposes, I would say.
Or,
you know, like
maybe just to simply keep less of the economic wealth of the country from being absconded with by the Anglo-American Empire. I mean, we kind of got that issue here. I mean, if you end up with stuff that it becomes a monopoly, the government steps in and breaks it up. You know, like they did with the AT&T breaking it up into the baby bells, you know, they called it for a while.
Yeah, but again, I mean, you think of the intimation of John D. Rockefeller to the priest, you know, Father, have you any money? Why? You know, basically buy Standard Oil, because when it's broken up, quote unquote, you'll become, you know, that was a greater monopoly than Standard Oil was when it was broken up, allegedly.
Yeah, we've got that problem now. I mean, the telephone industry has basically captured the government, just like especially the FCC. And of course, they're playing the intelligence community is being played, or the intelligence community is basically the telephone industry is rolling over like a puppy dog and letting the intelligence community scratch its belly. They're getting everything they want. And the only guy that didn't go along with that was this Inacio guy at Quest. I mean, he said, well, I can't just hand you over all of my customer data. I got to talk to the legal department about this. And within, I don't know, a year or so, they canceled a government contract after he made some stock sale and made it look like he had done insider trading. And so I think it took him about 9 years to get out from underneath of that, and he ended up writing a book about it and threw the broker under the bus that did it. But he was the only holdout amongst all of our American telephone industry that had any concerns about the government having all this data on all of us, you know, which, what is that but fascism? I mean, William Binney, and I just saw this video, and it's got me, I don't know how I missed it, the 2015 Forum on Democracy over in, I can't remember the town in Germany he's in. But he brags about suing the government, and he's got two lawsuits going or whatever. Well, I contacted the lawyer from Tennessee that he's got in Pennsylvania doing this lawsuit, and I said, I've got people that I can do affidavits in support of your case. We can do friend of the court brief, you know, amicus brief. And he just cuts me off and says, I can't practice law in Kentucky. Well, your case is not in Kentucky anyway, and this is a federal case. But people can be admitted to the bar temporarily to practice in Kentucky. I'm not that dumb. And we can't help your case. Well, but I mean, before this, I had found a forum that I ended up accepting a 30-day free trial, and they charged my credit card, and I got to talk to William Binney. I got one message back from him. And he says, many people have tried to find lawyers and can't, basically. He just blew me off. And here on this video from 2015, he's bragging about how he's suing the government. And then he blows me off in a message. So, I mean, what are we supposed to believe about even supposed whistleblowers like William Binney? Of course,
there's lots of stuff like that happens. You know, people are unreachable. They say, you know, they ask for support and disappear. There are many peculiarities one encounters when one
begins to add up to the point where you wonder how and what kind of a blackmail control grid do they have going, and to be able to control the media, like also on Republic Broadcasting, that all this stuff that's blown up after the election about, for years, ABC and CBS and stuff were sitting on this Epstein junk. And so you start to wonder, because this, and what I'm working back to, is the concept that came out of America in Illinois of controlling public education. Controlling public education is one of the planks of the Marxist Manifesto, whoever wrote it. You know, centralized control of education, centralized control of communication. I've captured the FCC. Yeah. You know, it's just right down the 10 planks. And so what do we have?
Timing is everything. Timing is everything. I think of the, like you're saying with the Epstein thing, the subprime contagion. Brooksley Bourne was the one who wrote a letter basically directly to Greenspan saying, nah, this is a bad idea. It's all going to come down. And that letter essentially got filed in the round file And then she became the poster child for reform, you know, basically using her as a political prop, you know, and saying, oh, she was the one who saw this coming. And now we need to have reform. And she's the poster child to advance it. Now we'll give you, but, you know, timing. It's all about timing. So,
well, this just let me quote this one thing here. And I watched William Binney's profile on this professional forum for a while. I'm on purpose not giving out what how you get to it, where he's at, Jacob Wybe, yeah. Larry Klayman, several others, you know, that are in on this, that people all know, they're seeing their videos and stuff. But I watched his profile and his activity, and I noticed that, you know, sometime after 6 a.m. he gets up and starts making posts on this forum. And so I caught him when he was over, I think, in Germany a different time, not in 2015. But I said, looking for a class action lawsuit if any apply, or ways to start one if I cannot jump on board with one. I've got 22 years of harassment and domestic surveillance, and I need some communications lawyer's help as soon as possible. I felt too intimidated to even think of using this forum to contact you, and I'm now being deplatformed. That was at 6 a.m. At 11:13 a.m., he contacted me back, and he said, don't know a lawyer that works in this area. Many have tried but not found one either. And this is after he's bragged that he's suing the government, 12, you know, two different lawyers, two different cases or whatever. You know, Larry Klayman, of course, got him and Jacob Wybe and the other guy off the hook because he found out that they were throwing evidence at the case that was not classified. You know, they were falsely, they lied. And we're doing overzealous prosecution, as this story goes. But, you know, it leaves me wondering, you know, did he actually reply to me, or is that the NSA doctoring the reply?
I was going to ask, actually. I didn't want to be cynical, but, you know, did you actually see him face-to-face? Anyway.
No. But, I mean, he actually talks about this in some of his some of his interviews, like the one he did with Tragedy and Hope, is that you can't trust over the internet who you're even talking to.
Yeah.
There's a little typo in the reply, which kind of makes it look more natural, like it's him typing it. But, yeah, I mean, what can we trust anymore as far as this goes? I mean, there's plenty of reason to doubt the voice prints were masked or doctored somehow for the phone
calls.
Or
at least that's what we're supposed to believe for the last 20 years, right, with deep fakes and so on.
Yeah, deep fakes, like the phone calls on 9/11. It could, you know, be fakes. I mean, so what do we do with this information, though, when you realize we've been so duped? You know, what is there to do? I mean, maybe you could pray your guts out. You know, it's like we're caught. The Christian world that was being destroyed by the jihads, you know, it took them 400 years before they finally said, wait a minute, we gotta do something about this, you know. Is it going to take us 400 years to try to straighten this out? I mean, finally the Christian world got some steel in its spine and tried to stop the wholesale kidnapping of all their young women, you know, by the jihadis. It took, from whatever, 700 A.D. until 1100 A.D. for the church to finally go, this ain't right. We can't just pray about this. We got to start getting in the way of it. You know, so I just wonder how long it's going to take before something effective gets done. I mean, with all this, the media being so controlled, and they're just going to keep vampiring off of us. We're being mined like human resources or something.
Yeah.
Donating our organs, is that next? I mean, they got eminent domain. I mean, they've got that eminent domain ruling. If a billionaire could generate more tax revenue with your kidneys, when do they seize them? You know, is that we have to let it go that far before we stop this crap?
Yeah.
They've certainly got the technology to catalog all of our assets to redeploy them.
Yeah.
For the greater good.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your call. Have a great weekend. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go out on a fearful note, though, to the weekend. It's you know, it'll be an interesting weekend. Hopefully this, all of this talk of, you know, the economics, I think the, you know, socialism and economics are also inseparable. And that might be something that we could return to, you know, again, Keynes and related folks. There's another book, The Clash of Economic Ideas, The Great Policy Debates and Experiments of the Last 100 Years by Lawrence White, which is interesting for those who, I don't know, are interested in the discussion. Speaking of the economics of socialism, anyway, Clash of Economic Ideas. And we're headed into a break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Their appointed duty, they keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, they don't want that use me stuff. I want to spread the news that if it feels
till you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, November 8th, 2019. Just a quick excerpt from this book. Again, The Clash of Economic Ideas, The Great Policy Debates and Experiments of the Last 100 Years. Tell me if this doesn't sound intriguing. This is from the introduction. The last 100 years have seen dramatic experiments in economic policy, and few people actually just, you know, look at the breadth of this history and say, wow, yeah, that's interesting. The adoption of central banking in the United States and elsewhere, command economy. And by the way, you know, as Andrew Jackson put it, even though, or in spite of the fact that the Constitution provides an insuperable objection to it, central banking. And you can just feel the freedom when you think about, you know, a system that is not command and control central banking economy. You know, whatever works is money, basically. So, central banking in the United States and elsewhere, command economies during the First World War, communist central planning in the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe and China, fascism in Mussolini's Italy, National Socialism in Hitler's Germany, the New Deal in Roosevelt's United States, the Bretton Woods international monetary system and the adoption of Keynesian macroeconomic policies after the Second World War, major nationalizations in post-war Great Britain, the reemergence of the free market principles in post-war Germany, Soviet-style five-year plans in India, and by the way, I would add Libya while we're on, and others, while we're on subject, the final abandonment of gold in favor of a system of fluctuating exchange rates among unanchored government fiat monies. If you want to benefit from Forex disparities, what better way? Regulation and deregulation and re-regulation around the globe, the collapse and repudiation of communism in Russia and Eastern Europe, market-led growth policies in the East Asian tigers, and then in China and India, neoliberal policies promoting the globalization of economic activities. In recent years, an unhappy sequence, a worldwide housing credit bubble. Speaking of Brooks Lee Bourne, Greenspan, you know, Summers, Rubin, etc. Followed by the collapse of mammoth financial institutions, but not all of them, just a few sacrificial lambs, right? Followed by expensive government bailouts and takeovers, followed by record-breaking budget deficits and fiscal crises, has returned the issues of monetary policy regulation, nationalization, and fiscal policy to the front of the economic policy stage across the developed world. True. And there's more. It's just interesting how fascinating it all is, how contrived, really, and how few of us really understand and have studied it. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.